Certainly it is good to be at Myerstown this morning. Lord bless you. I've enjoyed the Sunday school hour and the singing this morning. Really good. I'm glad Steve stopped where he did there about stories about each other, because I could have a few to tell about Steve as well. I can remember when Steve turned 16 and came under the camp guidelines to come to deer camp. But deer hunting's not the message this morning. There's more exciting things to talk about than deer hunting, certainly. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning for a text scripture this morning to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. We want to look at one phrase at the end of this verse. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. These are the words of Jesus. In my Bible, it's in red, probably in your Bible too, if you have a red letter edition. It reads like this: "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And that's our text this morning. And as I've been pondering this message for a little while now, and always challenged to live a life that is a blessing to others and also a blessing to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. And as we think about the verse, "It is more blessed to give than receive," the world would have us think that it is more blessed to receive than it is to give. As you work with society in general, you find out that there's a lot of selfishness in this world. There's a lot of looking out for number one. And as I was challenged about that again, I had to take a good close look at my life. Am I willing to give? Am I a blessing to others? Part of what inspired this message is I heard the comment, and you've probably heard it already, is in the world we have givers and we have takers. And sometimes the takers outweigh the givers. And within the body of believers this morning, the givers outweigh the takers. Amen? The givers outweigh the takers this morning. And as we think about this area of giving, and specifically it can be a broad spectrum here this morning, and we wouldn't have time to cover everything, but I would like to challenge us this morning in the area of our giving, and that is our tithes and our offerings. And this morning, as I refer to giving, I would also refer to a tithe as well. And in my mind, I have separated the two, okay? And you can think about that for a while, but this is an area sometimes I think we easily neglect. During the busyness of life, we get distracted and our attention, our focus becomes rather blurred. And it seems at times we just simply impulsively do things as far as maybe meeting the needs of others or the needs of the church as well. And I would challenge us this morning to be more deliberate in our course of action when it comes to honoring God with what He has entrusted to us. And I commend you for doing that already. I don't want to come across as this morning as that you're not already in this process. I commend you for your tithes and your giving as you have been. And I just would like to encourage us to be more specific about it. I would give credit to resources. One is a book written by Howard Dayton, "Your Money Counts." Some of you may have had that book or have it on your bookshelf. Some of what I say this morning does come from his teaching, his thought process, there, and also there's also a little pamphlet that I picked up a number of years back at Reach, and it was put out by Christian Light, and it's simply, and you may have this too, it's simply live to give. And I was challenged by those things and over a process of time. And I just would like to share a few thoughts with you this morning, direct our thinking. And Jesus, as our ultimate example of giving, and we'll come back to that at the very close of the message this morning. We want to look at that just for a little bit. A concept that we were familiar with, but we want to review. There's five points I would give to consideration to draw our thoughts to this morning. And we're not necessarily going to go over these 5 points as per se, but these are thought processes that we as believers, as professing Christians, children of the King, need to have in front of us so that we don't become distracted and we don't become negligent in our tithes and in our giving. The first one is acknowledge that God owns everything and that we are His stewards. The second one is a tithe is a testimony to God's ownership. The third one is the concept of first fruits. The fourth one this morning is our tithe is an act of worship. And then the fifth one is our giving extends beyond the tithe. And that's where I separate the two this morning. Our giving, number five, extends beyond the tithe, our tithe. The first one, again, I'll just review these five quickly here again. Acknowledge that God owns everything and that we are His stewards. A tithe is a testimony of God's ownership. The concept of first fruits. Our tithe is an act of worship. And then number five again is giving extends beyond the tithe. And I think as we live our lives, the concept of stewardship can be kind of foreign to us. If we don't keep that in front of us, some of the decisions that we make in life are affected by this principle of stewardship, recognizing that God owns everything and that God is over all, and we are simply, as His children, His stewards as to what He has entrusted to us. Now, we could go to the New Testament, and we could go to the parable of the talents scripture to back this up and an illustration to back it up. And I think it's important for us to realize that we are accountable to God. And once we get that riveted in our thought processes, then it affects a large area, the whole area of our Christian life. And it does specifically affect the area of our giving back to God, of the things that He has blessed us with. And that is a concept that it's hard to get a hold of sometimes, because I know for myself, I like to say that car out there is mine, you know, that farm is mine, or that whatever else is mine. We oftentimes have that natural tendency to pull those things to ourselves when really thinking about it, it's God's. It's God's. We're just simply entrusted to be stewards. And along with that, entrusted as stewards, there's an accountability for that goes along with it. And so as we get surrounded by the business of life, and we need to make important decisions that affect our families, that affect our church life, affect our interaction with others, think of that stewardship principle. Think of how this decision affects me as a steward of what the Lord has given me, or what the Lord has entrusted to me. The second one this morning, a tithe is a testimony to God's ownership. If you read in Psalm 24, verse 1, that scripture reads, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world that they that dwell therein." And when you get a hold of that concept, you realize that as the Lord is asking us to give back to Him, and if you would study through the Old Testament, you would find the avenue of tithe coming up over and over again in the teaching to the children of Israel, and that was, they were to bring to the house of God, they were to return to the Lord a tenth of the portion of their increase. And I personally believe that follows through with us today as His people, that the Lord is asking of us to give a tenth. And maybe some of us can give a tenth, maybe some of us would give less, maybe some of us would give more. But I believe God is asking for us to place Him first. And that brings to mind the concept of first fruits, and that is a study in itself. Proverbs, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll look at a few verses there just to highlight this concept a little bit in our minds. Proverbs chapter 3, and then let's begin reading at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in our own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. And then the next verse also goes along with that, I think. It says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." I'm sorry, verse 11. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." We are given the challenge of bringing our first fruits before the Lord, and that is a challenge for us to keep in front of us as we live our lives. So much of the time, we want to keep the best for ourselves, and I would challenge you to give the best to others and see what the Lord will do to you. See what the Lord will do for you or through you. It's easier said than done. That's a hard challenge for us, but it's a concept, I think, that as we live our lives, the area of first fruits, priorities, has to do with priorities, not just in where we spend our money or... It has to do with how we what we place in our to-do list. It's something that sometimes we have to put aside our own personal agenda to accomplish the Lord's work first, and that's the idea of coming through as first fruits. Giving the best of the harvest to the Lord. And that is a challenge for us as believers at times. And I think a lot of times our our selfish ambitions and desires get in the way of that. And I'm not saying our selfish desires are always wrong. I think it's good for us to provide for our families, but I think it's good for us also to realize the concept of first fruits. The fourth one, our tithe, is an act of worship. And as I thought about that, our tithe being an act of worship, that was a real challenge to me, because oftentimes, for myself, at different times, I've been rather impromptu at giving. They're lifting an offering here this evening. Oh, I'm not prepared. You know, that it's a thought process that we develop in our minds. It's an act of worship. It's something when we come into the house of God that we would bring along a percentage of our income to give to the Lord in appreciation for His gift to us. And that gift is the plan of salvation. And I think as we process these thoughts in our minds, it will change how we approach our giving and our tithes as well. Number five, then, giving extends beyond the tithe. And I like to think of this as meeting the needs of people, meeting the needs in the congregation or even outside the congregation. What are we doing as believers to help meet those needs out of our increase? And I think it's very, very important for us to recognize that that's our responsibility as believers, to extend beyond the tithe and to meet the needs of those who quite possibly may have had storm damage, for one, or health issues, things like that. Oftentimes there's pleas for help that come from various places that I see different times from, and I have to inquire and see what the situation is and how best we can help. And I think it's important for us to meet those needs when the opportunity is given. Americans are generous people. You ever think about that? Americans are generous people. We enjoy giving to ourselves and don't mind going into debt to do it. What's wrong with that statement? What's wrong with that? What? Yeah. Yeah, you think, I came across that, you think about, true, Americans can be generous people, but a lot of times it has to do with our own selfish ambitions. You know, we give to see something accomplished. This brings it pretty close home now. We give to see something accomplished because it's on our agenda. Let's be careful. We need to reverse that mentality and joyfully give to God. And that's where true joy is experienced. When we joyfully give to the Lord without any strings attached, that's where the blessing is. That's hard sometimes, it really is. Because we as congregations are so diverse at times. There's agendas here, there's agendas here, and it's a mix. And sometimes it's very hard to know. I was always challenged when I visited other countries, Grenada for one, Nicaragua for one, Haiti, and those places, those persons are so happy. The smile on their face says it all. And they're living in dire situations, in dire circumstances, and yet they still can have a smile on their face. You know, talk about the source of joy being in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. In our giving, we need to examine a few areas, and there's several areas that I'd like to examine here quickly. And the first area is our attitude. What is our attitude? Luke chapter 21 and verses 1 through 4. This is an example of giving. Individuals coming to the temple to give for coming to the temple for worship. In Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said," these are the words of Jesus. Jesus was watching what was going on here. Jesus was viewing the things that were happening here. In verse 3, he said, "Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto their offering of God. But she of her poorness hath cast in the living that she had." Our attitude in giving is not always necessarily giving the most possible. It's our attitude, it's obedience. It's doing what we're supposed to do. I would like to challenge us this morning that in our giving, if you withhold your giving because you think it's an insignificant amount, God is not pleased with that. God wants us to give even though it is a small amount. God wants our obedience, and our attitude reflects that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Though we give all our possessions to feed the poor, and if we do it without love, it profits us nothing." It's to no avail. We need to give out of a heart of love, out of a heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, and also out of the heart of love for others as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Our giving needs to be unconditional. As I said earlier, no strings attached. And that's reflected in our attitude. What about our attitude toward what the Lord has entrusted to us? Are we faithful stewards as to what he has given to us? Are we doing our due diligence? If we're not, then I suggest we start there. I suggest we go back to that concept of stewardship and take a good close look of how we are managing what the Lord has given to us. And I think that, once we get that straightened out, our attitude and how we give will change. The second area is, what are the advantages of giving? One of the first advantages of giving is it directs our attention toward God. If you are deliberate and specific in your giving, and you're on top of it, not giving impulsively, you understand what the offering is for before the gentleman announces what it's for on a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or whenever the offerings are listed, that is deliberate. You know what is coming. It directs our attention toward God. Matthew 6:19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I think our love, again, for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we treasure that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have our attention directed toward God That is an advantage of our giving. It develops our character. As I mentioned earlier in the message this morning, we're prone to selfishness. It's just with us. Our sinful nature is with us, and we crucify the flesh daily, on a daily basis. And that's important to understanding that. The life of Jesus, again, illustrated a true example of unselfishness. And there are many other advantages to giving. And here's some practical ideas for us to think about. Lower stress levels, less depression, more joy, more love, increased self-esteem and peace, lower blood pressure. Self-control, a fruit of the Spirit, is exercised when we give. That means we're taking deliberate action. We're denying ourselves. We're denying the new set of wheels that we'd like to put on our truck or our car. And we're saying, maybe the Lord could use this money a little bit more wisely. Certainly, self-control, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It conforms us to the image of Christ. And another advantage is our gift does not go unnoticed. Our Heavenly Father recognizes our gift. Proverbs 19:17, whosoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his debt. The Lord knows our gift. The Lord knows our attitude, and the Lord will bless accordingly. I'm a firm believer in that. And giving for the right reasons make us more grateful, generous, and loving people. I think that's very true. Once we've got that in our minds and in our thought processes, we'll find ourselves grateful, generous, and loving people, certainly. Another area we need to consider is our giving is an investment for eternity. That's one way to look at our giving, is as investment for eternity. Again, Matthew 6, verse 20 talks about laying up treasures in heaven. And I think it's important that we cultivate that concept in our lives. So many times we want to lay up our treasures in the bank or in stuff or in you name it, whatever it might be. Let's think about eternal values in our giving, investments for eternity. Philippians 4, verse 17, it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. Paul is talking about the gift that was the collection that was being taken. It wasn't that Paul's desire was for that gift coming towards him, but his excuse me, his desire was for the fruit that would abound because of it. And when you think that through, you realize that process of stewardship is coming through there again. What has the Lord entrusted to our account, and is that bearing fruit for the kingdom of Christ? We desire the fruits of eternal investments, certainly. And the another area in our giving is an increase of material blessings. Certainly, if you would go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 24 and 25, it reads like this: there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. But I, and then going to 2 Corinthians, this is a familiar verse to us, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. But this I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We read that verse again simply because I think it's important for us to recognize that it's a heart condition. Our giving is a heart condition. As we've intentionally purposed in our hearts, so let us give. The increase of material blessings does come from our faithfulness in giving. But as you would look at it on a graph or a chart, you could imagine in your minds a complete circle. Okay, so we've given, and our attitude is right, our heart is right, and it's out of a blessing to others. It's out of our love for the Lord. We have an increase in material blessings. What do we do with that increase in material blessing? We turn around and give it again. It comes up the other side, giving it again. That's the reason for our increase in material blessings, so we can give again, so that we can further the kingdom work and also to win souls for Christ. It's not simply the increase to enable us to become wealthier or taking down our barns and so forth and being content with the things, content with life. You know what happens at that process. The Lord is watching, and the Lord was watching that gentleman that tore down his barns and build bigger simply so that he could satisfy himself. The Lord required his soul. So it's a challenge for us as we live our lives. How are we doing? It's a checkup for me as well, as you folks this morning. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul gives us some specifics as to how to give, some of the things that should be done, and I'll just give you a few, and then we're going to close here. Our giving needs to be personal. We need to make it personal, as I talked about before. It needs to be a part of us. It needs to be a part of our response to the stewardship process that the Lord has entrusted to us. Our giving needs to be periodic, consistent, and giving regularly, consistently draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ, because remember the treasure principle: where your heart is, your treasure will be there also. And so if we love the Lord, our heart is there as well. It just really makes sense, and it motivates me as an individual to give and to bless the Lord and bless others. It also needs to be of a private deposit. Maybe you would like to do this in your family, or maybe you want to do it individually. Set aside an amount each week. Specifically, maybe save it somewhere, and then as a need arises, you're prepared. You're prepared to give, and that would be giving beyond the tithe. That would be giving in additional to what the Lord is requiring of us as His stewards. And I did allude to the thought of premeditating before. I think it's important that we plan our giving. Beware of our church offerings and have one of those offering schedules on your desk. If you handle the finances at home, it's something you want to consider as, you know, the week Sunday services come around, special services. Look for areas where you're able to give. And then along with that, pray as you're writing out the check, pray that the Lord would multiply the gift to advance his kingdom. And the Lord can do that. The Lord can take our small amounts at times and multiply it in ways we had no idea. We had no clue. So do not withhold. Do not withhold your gift. The Lord wants to multiply it. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to shine his face upon you. There's another thought I'd like to share yet. We'll close in a minute here. Giving involves everyone as the Lord giveth increase. And I remember growing up as a youngster, when we cut the neighbor's grass, some of my first lawn mowing jobs that I had, and you know, we thought we were big stuff. We got $5 or $2 or whatever it was back then. We thought we were pretty big stuff. We had this cash in our hands. Some of you can remember that. My kids kind of sneeze at $10, but I thought, you know, $5 is pretty good. But I remember Mom saying, part of this is the Lord's, and I, what? This is mine. I sweated. You don't understand. This, you know, we push mowed the whole yard. You know, this was mine. I earned it. But then, you know, it was a concept that was drilled into me from little on up, that part of this is the Lord's. And that's what we did. We took a part of it out and put it in an envelope, and then we were, that was the Lord's money, and we had the opportunity of giving that money at different times. So as the Lord giveth increase at all ages, young folks, you're earning money, you've got jobs, young married couples, maybe hard sometimes. Seems like the money doesn't reach around quite for all the bills, but I would challenge you to take that percentage off of your check as you get paid. Take that percentage off and give it to the Lord, and see what the Lord will do for you. See what the Lord will do for you. Young adults, young guys that are putting in lots of hours, saving up for, what did I save up for? I don't remember. A house maybe, or a nicer car, or a new gun, or, you know, some of those things that we think are pretty important sometimes. But let's remember that as we're earning, the Lord's giving us increase. Part of that is the Lord's. Part of that is the Lord's. And find a place to give. Find a place to place at your local church or a mission that you're familiar with. I would challenge you in that area. Sometimes it's kind of hard because, you know, it's hard-earned stuff. And older folks, sometimes we think the fixed income doesn't reach very, very far, but we need to still honor the Lord. We need to still honor him and let the Lord take care of the what we might think may be a shortfall. Allow the Lord to have that opportunity to work in your life. So the challenge this morning is, in closing, remember the ultimate gift. That is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the world through him might be saved. It is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ that motivates us to give to advance the kingdom of God. Giving overrides the default setting of selfishness and gives joy in our hearts. Giving overrides the default setting of selfishness and gives joy in our hearts. How much do you love the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for you and what he saved you from is a question I leave with you this morning. Shall we have a closing song?